Okay, we're here at some long pages. Page 41 and 42 are, sorry, page 42 and 43, that's what I meant, are the pages that kind of individually go into each book of the epistles. And I find this so fascinating because without this type of information, at least for me, it's kind of like a hodgepodge of, okay, wherever you open up the letters, you might find some advice, or somebody might be mad and seeming to yell at you, and some people might be saying something very direct, something might be more poetic, flowery, like what's going on? So it's really helpful to know kind of a little bit of background behind each of these letters. That way, when you pray with, the second reading is usually pulled from one of these letters, you can actually say, okay, well, what's this letter about? Who wrote it? When was it written? Who was it written to? Okay, now that I have all that context, now I can kind of plunge into the letter with a little bit more. I guess accuracy and understanding what it's going to be about. So with that, let's get into it. Romans is written by Paul, and he's writing to the Romans who live in Rome. I don't know if you had to say that, around AD 58. Okay. This is the deepest theology out of any of his letters. Okay. He has not yet been to the church in Rome. He's writing to the church in Rome, but he hasn't been there. So this is like his introduction, which is why it's a really nice book to begin with. He's introducing himself. It's the longest letter. It's the deepest theology. He's telling them the good news of the gospel. He's like given a basic intro, okay? So maybe it's not the best book to start with because it's kind of deep and heavy, right? But anyways, that's the book of Romans, okay? He's saying, "Hello, Romans. It's me, Paul. I will come visit you soon." First and Second Corinthians are messier. Okay, this is Paul again. He's addressing a lot of issues and rumors. Okay, the Corinthians are not the best. They have behavioral issues. Okay, the ministry that I was part of named the coffee house Corinth Coffee Co. And if it helps you remember, I was always thinking, why would we name them Corinth? Because Corinth is bad, and it's not bad coffee. So Corinth is kind of a bad place. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians to go, that is not what we do here. Okay. They have problems like disunity, lawsuits, sexual morality, celibacy, idol worship, improper behavior at the Eucharist, misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. Corinth was in Greece. It was a Greek city with a lot of pagan practices. And he wrote these letters in AD 56 and 57. And he was basically just kind of trying to set them straight. Okay. Galatians, totally different vibe, okay? Galatians, he's writing to new converts. So they're just starting their journey, they're babies, and they're starting to hear from false preachers that they need to like add in Jewish customs. They're hearing, you need to be circumcised. And he's like, no. So Galatians is largely his own testimony. He tells us in this letter that he spent 3 years in Damascus after his conversion. He tells them, a defense of his apostolic authority, who he is, that he is one of the apostles. He's telling them, listen to me, ignore those false prophets who are telling you you have to be circumcised, ignore the old Mosaic law that no longer applies. He's angry in this letter. Oh, foolish Galatians, okay? He's rebuking them for telling them that they have to be circumcised, but he's not mad at them as much as he's mad at the fact that, these missionaries who are falsely telling them things that they don't need to know. He emphasizes salvation is not by Mosaic law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And he writes this letter around AD 55. Okay. So Galatians, he's mad, but he's really mad that they are being attacked with these false teachings, and he's trying to help them to not all circumcise one another. Okay, Ephesians. Ephesians is he's talking about marriage, he's talking about the body of Christ, he talks about unity in the body. This is one of his prison letters. And it's considered more of like an encyclical letter to many churches. It's not really just to the Ephesians in Ephesus. Now, remember, he spends a long time in Ephesus. He spends 2 years of his life in Ephesus in his ministry. So it's to the Ephesians, but it's probably more widely promulgated because it's kind of more formal. So yeah, he focuses on unity and yeah, the model for marriage and family life. And this is written around AD 59. How you doing so far? You feeling like, okay, each of these is a little different. This is good. Okay, Philippians, on to Philippians. He is imprisoned during this. This is the prison letter, and he says we, as in like he and his buddies are Luke, the gospel writer, and Silas. They are both in prison with him, and they have done ministry with him before her. This is a book about like general instruction. There's some warnings, there's some practical advice about how to stay joyful. He thanks them for their financial support. But this is a joyful letter. He's happy. He's in prison and he's happy. So I just love this letter as a reflection of, yeah, how he can choose joy. And joy is real fruit of relationship with Jesus, even if he doesn't have good circumstances. Yeah. Next one is Colossians. This seems like it's a shorter version of Ephesians. Ephesians is like that widely promulgated letter. It seems like an encyclical. So yeah, he's doing the same thing. It's shorter. He's imprisoned again. He's never been to the church in Colossae, but he's asked for his advice and help with the teachers of false doctrines. So he's warning them against false teachers. And he's, again, repeating Galatians, like, you don't have to follow all the Mosaic law. You follow Jesus now. And that's Colossians. Finally, in his group letters to the whole churches before his individual letters, we get 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he's warning against, guess what, false teachers. And the false teachers offer a false gospel for pay. Okay, you have to pay them. And that's not how it works. They're not preaching for free. So these guys are super nervous about the end times, the Thessalonians. So Paul instructs them on the second coming of Christ. He's talking about the resurrection of the dead, the Antichrist, etc. So this is one of his first letters written. It's short. So he it's put near the end, but this is one of his first ones actually written. And this book actually mentions the Antichrist. But actually, the book of Revelation, which you think is all about the Antichrist, doesn't even say the word Antichrist in it. Okay, so the idea of an Antichrist is real, but it doesn't come from the book of Revelation. It actually comes here. And he is talking about end times, okay? Next up, we've got kind of this section on him writing his personal letters. So starting with 1 and 2 Timothy. He loves Timothy, okay? Now, this is funny because you look at the writing of 1 and 2 Timothy, and it kind of looks like Luke's writing. So Luke is his friend. Luke is his assistant. So it kind of looks like Luke might have penned this for him. Some phrases are very common between Acts and Luke's and Timothy, which makes sense. Maybe, you know, Luke is writing and Paul is dictating, right? So this is to Timothy. He's just offering advice and pastoring his church. And Timothy's a very young bishop. Apostolic succession is clear because Paul made him a bishop. And he's like, what's going on? He's like, it's okay. You really are the guy. You're the bishop. Of course, the word bishop is not used, but anyways, Titus, this letter is to Titus. It's offering advice to another young bishop named Titus. This is written in 58 AD, and it's offering advice in pastoring the church. Short letter. Philemon, this is also an imprisonment letter. He's writing to the former owner of the slave, Onesimus, to ask him to be fully free to allow him to work alongside Paul in spreading the gospel. This is very interesting, okay? So the slave, Onesimus is not free, but he's working with Paul. And Paul says, go back to your master, bring him this letter that I will have you deliver yourself to ask him to free you. So it's the shortest letter. It's a brief appeal. He says, please free this guy. And it's an appeal to his friend Philemon to release his runaway slave so he can have him as an assistant in ministry. And clearly it works. Next one is Hebrews. Hebrews, the author is unknown, but this is a great letter. My favorite one. Okay. It's elegant. It's more elegant than the rest of Paul's letter. It's encouragement. It's like a written homily. There's no yelling at the people. It's a rallying cry for Christians to shake off the indifference and continue to be strong. It's written to an all-Jewish community. And many of them are feeling the tug to go back to the Mosaic covenant. And it's like, no, stay strong. This is where we get the really cool list of all the forefathers of faith and the Old Testament connections and stories, because it's written to a Jewish audience. Okay. Now we're on to, we're rounding the bend, people. We're doing it. Okay. James, Peter, John, Jude. Okay. So James is not the Apostle James. It's from James the Less, and it's an exhortation mostly about behavior and morality. James comes on strong. James talks about anger. Okay. This is like, yeah, it's a set of moral and ethical teachings. Some biblical scholars categorize this book almost with like Sirach and Proverbs, because it's not really like a letter. It's like a set of moral and ethical teachings. And it's kind of harsh. So anyways, James has strong opinions. Next up is 1 and 2 Peter, letters from Pope Peter to the church. He talks about a lot of different things, but mostly he's warning and encouraging them. These are big deal letters because they're from the Pope. And then 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, I'm going to break up to tell a little bit about each one. All of them are written by the Apostle John, the beloved, who lays his head at Jesus's breast, the same one who writes the gospel, the same one who writes the book of Revelation. Okay. The first one is my favorite. It's like a love letter. Okay. It's a letter against certain heresies, but it's like a theological treatise. about the love of God. Okay, it's beautiful. I don't have a ton on John 2 or John 3, except for that John 2 is written in response to problems about a church, and it's written to an unnamed woman. And then the third letter of John is written to Gaius. Gaius is an incredibly common name, so we don't really know who he was, but it's, according to church tradition, he's possibly the bishop of Pergamum. Okay, so he's not the Gaius of the centurion of the chosen. Okay. Okay, what else do I have to say? Oh, one more. Jude. Sorry, Jude. I forgot about you. Jude is short, and Jude honestly is, it seems like it's a large repeat of Peter's letters. So if you've read Peter's letters and then you go straight to reading Jude, you're like, wait a second, plagiarism. But large segments seemed copied or at least similar because he is imitating his Pope. So that is that. How about that? I didn't put Revelation on there because, trust me, it needs its own space. So we'll get into that next.